Welcome into Proverbs 22. It's going to be a great chapter. Hey, there's a key in this chapter, verse number 6, that I don't want you to miss. There's several other things, but there's a lot of things in here, one in particular that I think is so important, especially for those of us that are parents. You know, I'll tell you, I've been enjoying this series. I hope you have too, whether you've been listening to this via podcast, Spotify, iTunes, or you're watching us on Rumble, YouTube, whatever it is. I really am glad that you've joined us for this journey. We're going to continue to have resources coming to you. That way you can get in the Word. The idea and the goal here in a lot of ways is to get in the Word, right? Not that topically, a lot of people go to church. I'm not a pastor, just like you. Maybe I'm in a situation where I'm in business. That's what I do. I have several financial companies that I just really felt led to share these things in Proverbs because I believe one of the things that's lacking in our world today, and you've heard me said this before in some of the previous teachings, is truth of God's Word. This is truth that doesn't change. It's constant, and it's something that we can literally anchor our lives to. So important. So Proverbs 22 is what we're going over today. If you've just joined us, welcome in. And obviously there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Proverbs is a book in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Just so happened to be 31 chapters written by what the Bible tells us and many would say and confirm the reality of. The fact is the wisest person that ever lived. So the question is, if you could get wisdom from the wisest person that ever lived, would you? Hopefully the answer to that is yes, or maybe you're not too wise. Okay. But let's jump into Proverbs 22. A lot of great things here that I don't want to miss. Get your highlighter, get your pen. If you're taking notes, or you're joining us again with your group, you're getting a group of guys or girls together to study through Proverbs, feel free to press pause along the way. If there's a thought that I share, don't just get, if you're like, wow, that was really interesting or impactful or it really connected with me, press pause and think about that. Dive a little deeper in your thought process on that particular thought so you can get the most out of it that you can. All right, let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you and we praise you for all that you're going to do. Guide and direct us with your Holy Spirit, all those that are listening and watching, that they would really glean from your word here in Proverbs 22. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's jump in. Right away, I got the verse 1 in Proverbs 22, first verse, highlighted in my Bible. It says, again, I'm using the NLT version, New Living Translation. So if you're reading from a different version, then it's going to be a little different. But NLT is what I'm reading. Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. And, you know, I've heard this said before, and I'll never forget the idea. There was a thought that was shared to me once from a friend's father years ago, and he was saying that it takes years to build a reputation, but it only takes moments or seconds to destroy it. And that should be something that we want to be thinking about, especially as we have friends interacting in our lives. We have people that we connect with that are trying to challenge us to stay on the right path. Listen, we all get distracted. We all are in a place where our eyes wander, or we're in a place where maybe we get depressed in the moment or whatever it may be for you or for me along the way. But do we have people that can spur us on to say, time out, stay the course, don't make dumb decisions in this moment, this too shall pass, so that way we can really make sure that we are choosing a good reputation and we're focusing on growing who we are in our reputation more than just money, gold, right? Verse 2, the rich and poor have this in common. The Lord made them both. A prudent person foresees danger. By the way, I think that's so important because a lot of times when we think about the rich and poor, sometimes in our world today, you know, we've heard it said before, like the class system. You know, if you were born into this class or this class or this class. In particular, we see that in other countries, not so much in America. But in America, we've used the terminology, hey, I was born on this side of the tracks. But the reality of it is in America, if you work hard and you're diligent, whether you're white, black, brown, yellow, whatever it is, whatever ethnicity or whether man, woman, whatever, you can go and achieve whatever you want to achieve if you work hard for it, right? Just the truth. But at the end of the day, we as people sometimes can look at rich and poor and say, well, this person's really important and this person's not as important because they don't have as much money or they don't have as much wealth or as much fame. And that's just not true. God made all of us. So it's important that we sift our view of people through that filter and that lens of, do we look at people the way God looks at people and loves them all? Or do we look at people through the filter of the world that says, well, this person is better than that person, and so on? Verse 3, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. It kind of makes me think of the situation, you know, as I'm shooting this right now, we're in the kind of tail end of 2023, and we are at a very high inflationary period in life. We're in a situation where there's global chaos and controversy happening. And I think what that can logically tell us, not to live in the mindset of fear, but what that can logically tell us is, you know what, it's possible that we could have some significant challenges in our economic society in the future and times to come. So what are we doing to prepare for that, to protect ourselves? I'm not talking about going and being a prepper. I'm just saying being prepared for what could come. And that's what it's saying here. A prudent person, right, foresees danger and takes precautions. But the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Verse 4, true humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. Verse 5, corrupt people walk on thorny, treacherous road. Whoever values life will avoid it. This is so interesting when you think about people. Have you ever noticed people in life that when they make bad decisions, they just tend to continue to make bad decisions? And their life can be summed up in the reality of like, wow, yeah, it's not a surprise that that happened to Johnny or Sally or whatever, because you're used to bad things happening to these people. And it's not because they have bad luck. It's because they've made bad choices. They've made bad decisions. They hang out with bad people. They're in a place where they're just not thinking in advance. It'd be like the idea of taking a road trip and you notice that your car is getting close to empty on E, right? The gas tank. And you say, oh, I'm just going to keep driving and drive. We'll just push it. We'll just push it and see how far it can go. And your whole family's in the car and everything's packed. And then all of a sudden you run out of gas. And you're like, I can't believe that happened. This stuff always happens to me. Da, da, da. It's like, no, this happened to you because you chose not to make the decision to stop and fill up the tank when it was 1/4 full. You knew you were going to have to get gas sometime and you chose not to do that. And so that's what happened. And so when it says corrupt people walk a thorny, treacherous road, it's just what it made me think of is literally the fact that people that are corrupt, that run to do evil, they constantly are in a place where they're making decisions that are not honoring to the Lord, that are not through the lens of wisdom. And so because of that, they're literally making their life more challenging. They're just not willing to listen to correction. They're not willing to listen to wisdom. So don't be like that. By the way, side note, evaluate your life and ask yourself, am I making decisions that is making my life more challenging? Now, what you didn't hear me say is, am I making decisions that makes my life more uncomfortable? I didn't say that, because the only way to get in the effective zone is to get outside of your comfort zone. A little side note. The only way to get in your effective zone, your effective zone, is to get outside of your comfort zone, okay? But you got to ask, what kind of decisions am I making? Am I making decisions that are wise? Have I sought out wise people? Do you have to make a decision on something? You say, okay, well, I bet if I called so-and-so, they would probably give me good advice. They've made some pretty good decisions in life. I'm not going to call them because why? Well, because you don't want to hear what they have to say, and you want to just make your decision, and you don't want to know what maybe the right answer is. You just want to do what you want to do. That's what people do sometimes in life. And so they find themselves down in the pit because they think they know better. But most of us, all of us, need wisdom along the way. Verse 6, I've circled this one. I don't know if you can see it with the lighting, but I've circled this one on my Bible here. Verse 6, it says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave from it. Now, there's another version of the Bible that says, raise your child in the way they should go, or bring up your children in the way they should go, depending on the version, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. So this is showing us, parents, that there's a responsibility. Little drink of water there. There's a responsibility from the parent. It is your responsibility to raise your children onto the right path. Listen, you know the cool thing about kids is it literally gives you the ability to almost have a do-over. So maybe when you were younger, you weren't great at listening to advice. Maybe when you were younger, you just did whatever you thought you wanted to do. You just followed whatever path, and it led you down the wrong path, and you made some really bad choices. Well, with your kids, you have the opportunity to teach them truth. And don't just teach them by telling them things, but share your story. Hey, I did this and this and this, and this led me down the wrong path. A little side note, I just had a conversation with our kids. Literally, it was last night, the day that I'm shooting this, and we were doing devotions. And we only read one verse, which was Romans in the New Testament, chapter 12, verse 2, talking about, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And one of the things that I talked to them about is the input into our minds from technology and other things like that. But I also got into talking about my time while I was at school and how, you know, junior high and high school, those are tough years. I mean, quite honestly, they suck in a lot of ways. Kids are in a place where they don't know who they are in life. They're trying to grow into who they are. They pick on other kids. I was certainly picked on when I was young, and that's no fun. But one of the things that I realized as I look back, and I wanted to encourage them with this, is the reality of, now obviously if someone's picking on you in a way or picking on your children in a way that they're harming them, that's a problem. You need to step in and make sure that that's taken care of and resolved. But sometimes adversity is good in some capacities. It helps you understand and learn to deal with people that you don't agree with all the time. The adversity that we face, the stones that we receive from other people because they're jealous or they're insecure themselves or whatever, and you know, we can take that one of two ways. We can either go one way and kind of get depressed and go down that spiral, or we can say, okay, how can I learn to deal with this and find the positive? By the way, parents, that's how you really need to step in. You need to step in and be an advocate for your kids. You need to be there as a resource to talk through things that they're going through in life so you can direct them, as it says in verse 6, onto the right path. And when they are old, they will not leave it. Verse 7, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, I know Dave Ramsey uses that a ton, borrow a servant to the lender, and that is very, very true. A little side note here, what I am not suggesting, and I don't want to spend time on this right now, but what I'm not suggesting here is that you never have any debt at all. There's a difference between good debt and bad debt. And that's something that's important. A little side note, we have an investing course that we put together for beginners that's out there. If you want that, you can reach out to the show or reach out to us somehow. But it's so important that you understand that we take these things in context of understanding the reality. Yes, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. That is true. And that does mean that we should evaluate our lives and determine, you know, what does that look like? How much debt should we have or not have? What should we get debt on? What should we not get debt on? But it's the idea of understanding and really taking account of our own personal life there. And I think that's so important. So when you're taking a look at this, think about the debt that you have. If you have it, is it good debt or is it bad debt? Good debt is debt that helps you grow your wealth on assets that are building and appreciating. Bad debt is on assets that are depreciating, right? And that means going down in value. Verse 8, those who plant injustice will harvest disaster, and their reign of terror will come to an end. Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. Throw out the mocker and fighting goes too. Quarrels and insults will disappear. Now that's talking about getting rid of people that are kind of always mocking and trying to make fun of people in life. Like, don't hang out with people like that. You know, one of the things that I was talking to someone about that's a teenager is I was sharing the thought of like, when I was a teenager, I didn't have a lot of friends. I knew a lot of people, but I didn't really have a lot of friends. And what's interesting is, and I don't know adults that are listening to this, if, as you hear this, you can confirm with me or not, but I really don't have any friends and I don't hang out with anybody that I hung out with when I was in high school. Like, we just don't hang out. And that's not a good or bad thing. I moved to a different part of the country. I'm involved in other things. Our mindsets were different. And so that's important when we take a look at that, is who are we hanging out with? Don't hang out with people that mock and insult other people. Make sure that you spend time with people that encourage and uplift. Verse 11, whoever loves a pure heart and gracious speech will have the king as a friend. The Lord preserves those with knowledge, but he ruins the plans of the treacherous. The lazy person claims, there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed. You're like, what? What does that have to do with anything? Well, what they're basically, the author is saying here is, the lazy person is literally in a place where they're making any kind of excuses in their mind to say, well, I'm not going to go do this, and I'm not going to go do that, and that's why I need to stay in here and be lazy, right? Verse 14, the mouth of an immoral woman is a dangerous trap. Those who make the Lord angry will fall into it. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. Remember when I said in a previous chapter that the rod of correction drives out foolishness? That's what this is talking about here. Now, I think this is important, parents, when it says a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness. This is why, now tune in here if I lost you for a minute. This is why as parents, we must parent. We cannot imagine how many, just think about how many adults, maybe yourself included, are literally addicted to their phones. How many people do you drive down the road and at a stoplight, you see they're literally searching or looking at something on their phone while they're driving their car? Maybe you're doing that too. I know I've done that from time to time. Like, I gotta like, no, put that away. I don't need that right now, right? It's a serious thing in our culture today. And we as adults, with hopefully a fully developed brain, maybe some of us don't have fully developed brains, but we as adults with fully developed brains struggle with the idea of being addicted to the phone. Don't kid yourself in the reality that your child, your teenager, that is involved in foolishness, silly teenage years, is capable of keeping themselves from garbage on their phone. Listen, there are teens today that are watching porn in ways that they never watched before because it's easily accessible and it's very addictive and it creates an insatiable hunger that can't be quenched. And so I want to challenge you as you're listening to this, pay attention. Don't just say, well, yeah, you know, honey, yeah, son, here's your phone. Yeah, I know everybody else has one. Yeah, I don't want you to be. No, our kids have their phones, but they are limited as far as what they can look at, what they watch, when they have access to use it. And it's a constant battle, by the way. We don't have it figured out. I'm not saying we have it figured out. I'm not saying we're doing it all perfectly. I'm not saying my kids haven't struggled and don't struggle and will not struggle with things. I'm just saying that this is something as parents, boy, we got to be paying attention to in a way that our parents didn't have to pay attention to because we didn't have phones like our kids have today. This is a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. So discipline your kids. It's okay if they're doing something wrong and do it in love. Verse 16, a person who gets ahead by oppressing the poor or by showering gifts on the rich will end in poverty. Listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instruction. Verse 18, for it is good to keep these sayings in your heart and always ready on your lips. I am teaching you today, yes, you, so you will trust in the Lord. What do you trust in life? Have you ever thought about that? Like, when your head hits the pillow at night, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your own ability? Are you trusting in your own strength? Are you trusting in the opportunity where you're saying, well, if I do this and this and this and this and this, then I'll be okay? And maybe as you get older, you have health situations that happen and it causes you to evaluate life. I mean, I've been having shoulder issues. I hate it. I want to go back to the gym and really do what I need to do in there, but I can't the same way that I would like to. It affects me there. It affects me as I golf. And it's just another reminder for me to say, you know, who am I trusting in life, for provision? It's a great reminder that we got to trust and learn to trust in the Lord, the creator of everything. Verse 20, I have written 30 sayings for you filled with advice and knowledge. In this way, you may know the truth and take the accurate report of those who sent you. Don't rob the poor just because you can or exploit the needy in court. For the Lord is their defender. He will ruin anyone who ruins them. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Wow. You know, it's the old scenario. Remember when, maybe when you were younger, I remember when I was in youth group and they always used the analogy of somebody that was standing up on a chair and they grab hands and then somebody else was down on the chair. And the goal was for the person to grab hands and try and pull the other person up. I don't know if you've seen that analogy before, but 9 times out of 9, the person that's on the ground, even if they're a little bit smaller, is typically able to pull the person that's up on the chair down on the ground. And so what this is telling us here, when we take a look at what's happening along the way, don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. We kind of morph into people that we hang out with. Just think about people that are popular today, celebrities, quote-unquote, that you might look at or your kids might look at. And think about how your kids want to live their lives. They're like, hey, I want to get shoes like that. I want to wear a shirt like that. I want to wear a chain like that, a gold chain or a silver chain or whatever. I want to wear my hair like that, right? Because they want to look like these people. They want to kind of be like them because they're popular. They're esteemed in their eyes. The Bible says that we should not befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people. Verse 26, don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else if you can pay it. Even your bed will be snatched from under you. Don't cheat your neighbor by moving the ancient boundary markers set up by previous generations. That's kind of like eminent domain, right? Except for your home. If you're in a place where you have a property, don't put your fence, your new fence, like 2 feet over into your neighbor's property. Just be like, well, maybe they won't notice. Don't do that kind of stuff. Do you see any truly competent workers? They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people. And that just goes to show me the last verse here, verse chapter 22, that what you do matters. And also there are those that excel, have great businesses, are in places of authority, that are looking for quality people to do great work. So the work that you do and how you do your work matters. It's so important. Hey, listen, share this show with someone that needs to hear it. Join us for Proverbs 23. If you just dialed in, go back and listen to one and all the way through. And we're excited to jump into Proverbs 23 next time. Thanks for tuning in.